John chapter 1. Well, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able. John chapter 1, we're going to read responsively here the first 14 verses. I'll read the odd ones by myself. You can join me on the even ones there. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Well, here we are in John chapter 1, and just an amazing chapter of the Bible. You know, the book of John is probably the most often read book of the Bible, besides Genesis. You say, why is that? Because every year in January, people start reading their Bibles over again. Come on now. Right? And they get about, what, 2-3 weeks is about the average of New Year's resolutions? I'm being serious. Right? You know, we can snicker a little bit. But, you know, they get through Genesis, so that's obviously the most read book of the Bible, because then the next year they read it again, having not got through the rest of it. But, you know, John, how many of you have ever heard, maybe you've read in our missionary letters, but what do they go out besides gospel tracts and hand out in communities across the world? What is it? Yeah, John and Romans, right? You've heard of that, put those coupled together. In a little pamphlet, and hand it out to people, right? Yeah. Hey, listen, if someone is looking for Jesus, you know what I'm going to send them to? John and Romans. I mean, you can go through the whole Bible, but I mean, just particularly, those point out the case of it for sure. You know, the key verse in the entire, book of John is chapter 20 and verse 31. It says, "But these things are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Isn't that about it? Isn't it about the nutshell? And listen, what is the most famous verse in the Bible? John 3:16. "For God so loved the, that he gave his, that believeth should not, but have everlasting life." Y'all did great. Bravo. No, it's true, right? So, I mean, if we think about that, and we think about just what we came through, you see, this is kind of a culmination of the events here in April. What is it all about? Certainly not the Easter Bunny, right? Certainly not how much candy you have left over. Brother Frankie said that, told me, I asked him how he's doing in children's church with supplies and things. He said, "If you need some more candy, I've got some over here." He goes, we just brought some more today. I said, "Why'd you do that?" He goes, "Because we have too much at home." Listen, I'm just saying, you know, it's about Jesus Christ. It's about believing that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You see, this is what we need to dwell on. This is what we need to concentrate on. This is what we need to wrap things up with. This whole Easter celebration and this whole time of remembrance of the Passover and the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord is the Lord himself, is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Capital W, proper name, Jesus Christ, the Word. You see, the whole purpose of this book, and if you will, in a way, the whole Bible is to introduce people to Jesus Christ, the redemption of mankind, the Savior of the world. You know, John is recording this account. He's the disciple whom Jesus loved, we are told. He's the one that is probably the closest to Christ. We also know that he's the one, only one of the apostles that died a natural death. Into his late 80s or early 90s, if you will, some scholars say. You say, oh, they must have just left him alone. Oh, no. He was boiled in oil. A French fry. Yeah. Stuffed mushroom or whatever you like to eat, boiled in oil. Corny dog. Yeah, and he survived. Exiled to the Isle of Patmos, which not only was it a deserted place, but was full of poisonous serpents. Survived that too. I mean, why would he write this? Well, for the purpose of presenting Jesus Christ. You see, if Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, then he's a liar, deceiver, and an imposter. But he is, isn't he? He is. Oh, listen, these miracles, all these deeds and these claims, the words that he said, the recordings of it, were not for just for human posterity and for record, but rather to prove that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Savior of the world, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You know, in our Sunday school study, we've been studying in Acts and, you know, talking about recently about Peter and John and them and preaching and healing people and doing these things in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Under the authority of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You understand that Jesus Christ is God. He's very God, the Son of God. He's not a fraud. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a good man or a prophet. He is Christ. He's Christ. You see, all these things recorded in the book of John, and that's why people like to go here, and this because it proves that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. It's a record of these things. That we might believe and that we might have life through his name. You see, Jesus Christ being the light of the world and being in the beginning with God and he was God and he is God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This is Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is the one that we need to focus on. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Brother George referenced this the other night. I've committed this passage to memory at some point in my life. Don't test me on it today. I know a majority of it and can give you the sense of it. We studied this in our Christian school when I was the principal there in Arlington. Had the kids memorize actually all of the book of Colossians. But if ye then be risen with Christ, it says in chapter 3, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then I love this statement. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Isn't that right? Christ is our life. Hey, listen. Without him, we don't have life. Do we? You say, but yes, I do. No, you don't. Look what it says in John, our text. It says here that in him was life and the life was the light of men. Without him was not anything made that was made. You know what he is? He is the life. He's our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. You know, our hope is not in the church, as far as religion, the church. Our hope is not in the government, thank God. Right? I'm sure glad our money still says in God we trust. not in government we trust. They're probably going to change that one of these days. No. In him was life. In him is life. You know, our Bible tells us, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the life. Jesus Christ is our life. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Jesus said in John 10:10. I read to you the key verse of John and how it says that believing ye might have life through his name. What was the purpose that he came and was born as a little baby, lived a perfect life, and gave himself a ransom for many, died on the cross, suffered with the crown of thorns and the beatings and the crucifixion and all of that, gave up the ghost, put in a tomb, rose again the third day and ascended to heaven 40 days later. Why? Life. Life for you. And life for me. Life for all the world. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That we might have life, he said in John 10:10. I've come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. In John 11, of course, you know, with Lazarus and Mary and Martha and him talking to her, said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He's the life. Oh, he's the everlasting life. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through the righteousness unto eternal life by Christ Jesus our Lord. He's our life. Oh, folks, without him, we don't have any hope. Without him, we don't have life. We only have emptiness, misery, sorrow, depression. Hey, you wonder why this world is messed up? I can't even think about how many times in the last month people have said a comment to me about, I don't know how lost people do it. I don't know how lost people go through funerals, go through cancer, go through deaths, go through this. Quote unquote life in this world, which is not life. It's not living till you find Jesus. I don't know how they do it. And you know what? I don't know how they do it either. Without him, we have no hope. We have no life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Oh, you understand? In 1 John 5:12, it says, he that hath the Son hath life. I mean, how more simple can you get? He that hath the Son hath life. I mean, it's cut and dry, isn't it? He that hath the Son and a church membership and good standing and baptism and this hath life. No. He that hath the Son hath life. Oh, it goes on. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Piece of cake. I think a 2-year-old could figure that out. It's that easy, isn't it? Well, I tell you what. Christ, who is our life. Go back to our text today in chapter 1 of John. It just says simply that, hey, these things were all made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was. He was there with God. He is God. And in Him was life. Are you living today? Or are you dead? It's really easy. Let me rephrase it. Are you in Christ? Or are you without Christ? Because that's the difference between living and dead. It just simply is. You say, oh, you're talking about a spiritual sense. No. No, I'm not. I'm talking about all of you. All of you. Hey, you know what? My life, if you will, as the old song goes, is worth living because He lives. It wasn't worth living before because I didn't know that He lived. But when I found out He lived and He became my Savior, now life is worth living. It's worth living because it's life in Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. Look at what else it says in verse 4 here of chapter 1. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Hey, he goes on to say this word light many times in this chapter, doesn't he? I mean, look at it. Verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness. Look here in verse 7, it says that John came to bear witness of the light. It says that he was not that light, speaking of John, but was the one sent to bear witness of that light. Then he goes on in verse 9 and says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Wow. I mean, this is going on and on here. But he's not only the life, but he's the light. He's the light that shineth in darkness. Oh, listen. He was the life and the light that revealed our condition that we need to be saved. You know what light does? It reveals. It reveals. You know, those that are living in darkness, they don't know they're in darkness until they see the light. Didn't you know that? They're blind. You say, why do these people, why do they steal and why do they manipulate and why do they kill and why do they do these bad things and why do they try to get... They're lost. That's all they know how to do. They a lot of them don't even know. They're just doing. They just are being human. You understand? But you know what? How do they know they're lost and undone? How do they know they're without a Savior? How do they know when they see the light? And if you will, when we take our part as carriers of the light or reflectors of the light and shine it in darkness. Oh, by the way, remember, let your light so shine. Why? So they can see you? No. They can see Jesus, the light. The light. Oh, He's our light. Hey, you know what light does? It reveals our need and condition. We're lost and undone. We're without hope. Oh, listen, this light is shining to the world. It's shining to the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. Yeah. Oh, He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. But we know that as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. Hey, you know what? There are lost people out there that need to see Jesus. They need the light to reveal their condition. That they're lost and undone. They're without hope. They're without help. And they need help and hope through Jesus Christ, the life. They need him. Hey, you know what light does? Light gives, it reveals, it gives direction. Right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Helps do that. You know what it does? It gives comfort. It gives comfort. All right, now, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you'd like to, we can go through a little group therapy here today for you, okay? How many of you are scared of the dark? I'm not. But you know what? Isn't the dark a little unnerving? Why? Because of what? The unknown. The unknown. Right? Hey guys, ladies, if you want to do something, you know, have all the lights off in your house and have your wife had rearrange the furniture and then come in the door. And don't turn any lights on. Ow! It's a little unnerving. Or listen, I'm pretty comfortable with the light, but how many of you have been like in complete pitch darkness, right? And then you hear something. Funny story. You like funny stories? I may have told this here. I don't know. Forgot where I told. I was a young staff member at Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington. And one of the things that I always like to do is to try to be a blessing to the preacher. Isn't that a good idea as a young staff member? I love serving God there and I didn't want to lose my job. Amen. So I was trying to do a good job. And one of the things that I would do is I would always go around and make sure all the buildings were locked up. We had a special event, and everybody had moved from the church sanctuary over to the fellowship hall. And so I was going around shutting off lights, you know, saving money, the old budget, you know, that's good. Because maybe if I could save enough money, I could get a raise, you know. I mean, I'm just being perfectly honest with you. No, I wanted to do it because that's how I was raised. And I was going to go over there and shut all the lights off and lock up the door and make sure everything was secure and all that. So I go over there and I don't know if some of you have been to Trinity, and I walk around and I get in the foyer and I'm shutting lights off and I'm turning things, you know, locking doors and everything. And I go into the main auditorium and all the lights are off, which is great. Okay. And I'm just kind of looking around and I'm checking a thermostat here and checking a thermostat here, make sure the things are set right. And all of a sudden, at the front of the auditorium, of the sanctuary, I see this glow. It goes, this blue glow, and then it goes away. And I'm like, what? So I stand there, and I just stand still, just listening, because it's dead silent in there. I'm like, okay. Now listen, I'm pretty secure in myself, okay? But I'm like, well, all right, let's see what's going on here. I have a little friend with me. I don't know what's going on. Some weird things happen in church, you know? Safety first. Safety off. Here we go. Locked and loaded. Let's do it. And I'm like, what in the world could be glowing at the front of the church? There's a ghost in here, you know? So I'm like, hello? So I walk down, and it doesn't happen again. And I'm like, Mike, what in the world? So I'm looking around. I don't see anything. It's dark, and I just don't see anything. And this blue light was glowing, you know? So I walk back to the back, and I turn around one more time. I don't hear anything. I don't see anything. Get out of here. So I go turn all the lights on. So I wanted some comfort. You know what it was? Stupid smartphone on the piano bench. I mean, come on. Oh, one of the teenagers left it there. Anyways. But honestly, I tell that story just because. Doesn't the light give us comfort? Hey, didn't Jesus said that when he left, he would send another comforter? What does that mean? He was the first one. Hey, didn't he give comfort to his disciples throughout his ministry? I mean, look, when they're in the boat and the thing's beginning to sink, that's what they said, right? And these are professional fishermen. I'm going to take their word. Fishermen. That's not right. Fishermen. They were professional fishermen. They knew what they were talking about. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Peace. Be still. I mean, all throughout his ministry, he provided them comfort. He was the original comforter. And then would send the Holy Spirit, as he promised, or give him comfort and lasting peace. That's what the light provides. Hey, it's eternal life. It's everlasting life. Why do you think after he arose, he said, peace be unto you? Right? I mean, Paul, as he writes his apostles, he's constantly talking about this peace. You know what the Holy Spirit brings to us? Peace that passes all understanding. We don't have to know it all, folks. We don't have to understand it all. We can just know that he is light. He is life. He's our peace. Oh, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Hey, this light shineth in darkness. We're supposed to shine in darkness. John bare witness of him. And cried in verse 15, he says, he was of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me. You know, he declared, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, there in verse 29. Many believed. We've been going through the book of Acts and seeing how people did indeed what John said in the key verse of this chapter, of this book, that they might believe and they might have life. You understand that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. But as we kind of close today, I want you to notice that the rest of verse 4 and 5 said, even though that in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there down in verse 11, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. In verse 10, it says, he was in the world. He was here. It wasn't a fairy tale. He really was born of a virgin. The angels really came and sang, glory to God in the highest, and peace and peace, goodwill toward men. The shepherds really noticed that. They really went in there to the place of the manger, and they saw him, and they published it throughout the world. These things all really happened. He really did live a perfect life. He really did die on the cross. He really did rise from the dead. He came into the world. The world was made by him. But guess what? No recognition. No reception. And the world knew him not. You see, Christ has done everything. He's provided all. There is no other way. There is no other provision but Christ. The life and the light. And one either receives it or rejects it. Those are the choices. It's that simple. Remember we read, right? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's either received or rejected. Oh, the world as a whole has rejected him. His own as a whole have rejected him. But aren't you glad for verse 12? But as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Think back to when you trusted Christ as your Savior. Think back to when the light of the glorious gospel was shining in your life and you realized you were a sinner. That you were walking the wrong way. That you needed that peace and that comfort that the light provided, and you turned to Jesus Christ and you trusted him and received eternal life through his name. What a day. What a day. Hey, like the hymn says, I'm glad I settled that account long ago. Down on my knees, I settled it all. And the old account was settled long ago. Hallelujah. Hey, is your name recorded in the book of life? There's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Can you say that today? Have you received him? Or have you rejected him? He that hath the Son, hath life. Oh, this true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But his own received him not. The world knew him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. You see, there's a purpose for this time that we just celebrated. There's a purpose for the remembrance of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord. That purpose is written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You see, we as his witnesses need to spread that light across this world. You know, I've told you before, but I love the fact that our church is called Lighthouse Baptist Church. And you know what? I think that we should live up to our name. We should. You know, over time, sometimes the glass and the mirrors of the lighthouse get a little dirty. Need to be cleaned. Sometimes that light gets a little dim and needs to be brightened. Sometimes the operator is not paying attention or getting careless or falling asleep at the wheel. Let our light so shine before men. They may see your good works. May glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine. Reflect the light of Christ in your life. He's the life. You've accepted him. How about people you know? Have they? We have a golden opportunity. This time of the year, people, it's on people's minds. And listen, they know the Easter Bunny, but do they know Jesus? Maybe they know the Cadbury Bunny. But they need to know Jesus. We have an opportunity to, as John the Baptist, bear witness of him, crying and saying, he is of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. See, you wonder, why they're still in darkness? Because that's what they do. But we have to keep persevering. We have to keep shining in darkness. You know what John did the next day? After many did not believe, he preached again. And the next day, he preached again. And the next day, he preached again. Some believed, some did not. We have that opportunity To be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. To preach the word to every creature. Teaching all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Great Commission. Following through. Being witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. With all power. That was given unto him and passed unto us through the filling of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. We have an opportunity to carry the light, to reflect the light that is within us, the light and the life in Jesus Christ. It's our opportunity. I just wanted to help us to sum up the purpose of this Easter time and season. And it's simply Jesus Christ. Today, just very simply, what's your relationship with this word that was with God and was God in the beginning with God? What's your relationship with this life? This life that was the light of men. Has it been received or rejected? If it's been received, how are you doing it reflecting it? If it's been rejected, how about receiving it today? Christ is your Savior.